Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The Bible is a book of predictions or prophecy. And I need to begin by reminding you of something, that the Bible is no ordinary book. It's a letter from God sent to you to read. And that's why it's so important that we take time every single day and pick up the Bible. Just read something. You know, prayer is actually communion with God. It's fellowship with God. So every day we should be talking to God in prayer. And when you talk with God, you should pick up your Bible as well to see what He'll say back to you, or something that you want to express to Him from His Word. The Bible is a supernatural book. God speaks to us through His Word. And you need to understand that these words in the Bible come straight from God. There are people who believe not so. They believe, well, men wrote the Bible. Yes, men wrote the Bible as God inspired them. God spoke into the minds, into the hearts of men, and they wrote down what they heard God say. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter 1 and 20. It says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. Now, as I just mentioned, the devil has deceived many not to believe that. I want you to listen to results of a recent Gallup poll about the Bible. Over time, the tendency to take the Bible literally is waning, although it's still a strong source of guidance for a large percentage of the country. According to a Gallup poll conducted in May of this year, 47% of Americans considered the Bible to be the inspired Word of God, but not everything in it should be taken literally. It goes on to say only 28% of Americans now believe that the Bible is the literal Word of God. The devil does everything he can to dissuade people about the Bible being the Word of God. In fact, he hides behind human reason. And people are not aware that he's actually controlling their thinking. But Jesus exposed the devil as a liar and a deceiver. Listen to what Jesus said in John 8 and 44. Speaking about the devil, he says, he has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, most of you know this, but I need to mention it again. We are at spiritual war with unseen evil forces attempting to destroy our lives and our families. The spiritual warfare is real. The Bible says that we should watch out for our enemy, the devil, because he roars like a lion, and he's seeking for those that he can devour. That's why it's important for you to know God, for you to read his word, for you to arm yourself through his word, to know how to discern when the devil is attacking you, even through deception. My message for the last few weeks has been about predictions. It's talking about prophecy. Today, the title is, The Famine is Over. There are two roads to seek for knowledge about the future. God's way through the Holy Spirit and His Word, and the devil's way, which is through the occult. Very, very dangerous to go the devil's way. In an article called Psychic Wonderland, it says, every year there seems to be more psychics than the year before. And they are predicting all kinds of trivial events, engagements of movie stars, political results, TV stars, contracts, the birth of new messiahs, next year's fashions, spiritualistic phenomena, and airplane crashes. We need information, but sources are important. We dare not go to the wrong ones, or the psychics and their fellow travelers, the astrologers, the mediums, and the Satanists safe? Are they reliable? At the beginning of 1978, Roger Blaggett decided it was time to settle this matter of psychics. So he did what other people have thought of doing but had never done. He went from one magazine vending counter to another, buying up the first of the year's sensational and gossip tabloids. Then he took his loot home and carefully compiled a list of 250 definite predictions for the year of 1978. As the year passed, he kept close tabs on the news stories as they broke in the newspapers, as well as the major news, science, gossip, and sports magazines. He kept watching for the fulfillment of those 250 predictions. At the end of the year, he sat down and put it all together. Out of 250 specific predictions by the 30 leading psychics of the world, less than 3%, that's 6 out of 250, could be listed as reasonably fulfilled. 97% missed the mark entirely. The 6 correct ones had been stated in such a general term that it was not difficult to find someone or someplace that could fulfill them. So those of you who think about going to psychics and trying to find the future by palm readers and tea leaves and all of these things, please understand all of that stuff is bogus. It's not real. I should say that it does not yield accurate information. It's important for you to know that. I was at home yesterday, and I just happened to turn the TV on, and I saw an advertisement on the television, and it said, California Psychics. And it gave a telephone number, and I was like, while I'm talking about this, let me go out on the site and see what the complaints were. It was amazing. I mean, it was a whole list of complaints. Information not accurate. This was a waste of time. It was a waste of money. Someone actually wrote, if you want to know the truth, you should go to God. It was amazing. Now, one person said, I have been going to this psychic place in California for 3 years. It's not worth it. Save your money. Keep your money in your pocket. It's not real. If you want to know the truth, read the Bible. Believe God. It's so amazing how these people are successful. I mean, this is a billion-dollar industry. This whole message and teaching about predictions, I thought I was going to talk more about current events and prophecy. But the Holy Spirit is making sure that I talk about psychics and ways of finding about the future outside of what God says. Listen, if that is you, forget it. The information is not accurate. Besides that, the Bible tells us that involvement with the occult will bring a curse upon our lives. Now, God uses the accuracy of prophetic predictions to prove that the Bible is true. In J. Barton Payne's book, Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy, it states that the Bible contains approximately 1,239 prophecies in the Old Testament and 578 in the New Testament, for a total of 1,817. This number varies among scholars. Most of the predictions in the Bible have already come to pass. Now listen to what the Bible says about itself. Because, you know, many people want to know, well, when I've heard a prophecy, I've heard a prediction, how do I really know it's from God? Listen to what the scripture says. It says in Deuteronomy 18 and 21, but you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? It goes on to say, if the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. I mean, that's pretty straight out and plain. A prediction and seeing its fulfillment is nothing short of experiencing a miracle. We need to understand just how important prophetic predictions really are when you look at statistical truth. And let me mention something here. It's been said that the odds of just 48 Old Testament prophecies coming to pass concerning Jesus or any other individual statistically are the same odds as identifying and then releasing one single molecule. By the way, a molecule is, you can't see it with the naked eye. One single molecule among all the molecules in a trillion, 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 billion universes the size of our universe, and then recovering that same molecule again. Wow. Folks, that would take a miracle. You see, only God knows the future. And only his predictions result in supernatural accuracy in their fulfillment.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
We are living in a time where the major Old Testament predictions about the end times are happening right before our eyes. So I just want to mention just a few things. You know, the Bible teaches us that the nation of Israel is God's timepiece regarding the end times. Israel's historical relationship with God has been one of commitment and then uncommitment, repentance and then restoration. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, he prophesied 550 years before Christ's birth that Israel would be dispersed among the nations because of their disobedience to God. Then he prophesied that they would return to their homeland, Jerusalem. Let me read that for you. In fact, if you have your Bible, you can join me. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 18. I want you to listen to what God said through this prophet Ezekiel. He said, I poured out my fury on them for the blood that they had shed on the land and for the idols which they had defiled it with. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. But when they were scattered among the nations, they brought dishonor to my holy name. For the nation said, these are the people of the Lord, and he couldn't keep them safe in his own land. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back again. I will show how holy my great name is, the name that you dishonored among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am the Lord. For I will gather you up from all of the nations and bring you home again to your own land. Jesus came 500 years later and gave a similar prediction about what would happen to the nation of Israel. He stated that the Jews would become scattered throughout the world, having no homeland, but would return to Jerusalem when the Gentile rule would end on earth. Now, this is a very significant scripture because it really puts us where we are today in history prophetically. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 and 24. Jesus prophesied, "The people of Israel will be brutally killed by the sword or sent away as captives into all the nations of the world, and Jerusalem will be conquered and trampled down by the Gentiles until the age of the Gentiles comes to an end." And then Jesus gave a parable about the generation that actually saw this prophetic fulfillment. He said in Matthew 24 and 33, you may want to write some of these scriptures down. Matthew 24 and 33, "When you see the events that I've described beginning to happen, you can know my return is very near, right at the door. I assure you, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place." Stop. Israel returned back to their land and became a nation in 1948. Jesus said, "I assure you that the generation that sees this come to pass will see everything else come to pass, including my return." Folks, 1948, that makes this the generation, the one that will actually see Christ's return. Would you look at your neighbor and say to them, "Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready?" I should say ready or not. You know, the Bible tells us about war in the Middle East. We're having war in the Middle East right now. See, this is what I'm saying. We're seeing prophetic predictions from the Bible right in front of our eyes right now. Right now, Israel is at war with Hamas, which is a part of the Palestinian army, and they are fighting. They've had truce fires, and they stop them. It's almost impossible, it seems, to have total peace in the Middle East. Yet the Bible tells us that when the Antichrist comes, that he will finally broker a 3.5-year peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. Listen to where it says that in the Bible. This is Daniel 9 and 27. It talks about the confirmation of a covenant with Israel. It says, "This king," speaking of the Antichrist, "will make a 7-year treaty with the people," that's Israel, "but after half the time," that's 3.5 years, "he will break his pledge and stop the Jews from all their sacrifices and their offerings. When the treaty is finally made between between Israel and the Palestinians, one of the things that the Antichrist is going to say is, you can start making all of your animal sacrifices again. But right at the halfway point of those 7 years, he's going to stop it and say, no, you can't do it anymore. And now listen to what the Bible says. "Then as a climax to all of his terrible deeds, the enemy shall utterly defile the sanctuary of God. But in God's time and plan, his judgment will be poured out upon this evil one." Basically, what the scripture says is he shall put something in the sanctuary that shall defile it. It's actually an image of himself, the scripture tells us. And we'll talk about this and a lot more next week. We'll get very much deeply into this. while I was preparing for this message, the Holy Spirit said that I needed to talk to something right now relevant to your life and what you're going through. So I want to talk to you about personal prophecy. See, when we discuss the subject of prediction, we must remember that God still gives personal prophecy to us. And the Lord brought to mind Elisha, the prophet. God used Elisha, the prophet, to speak to people predictions about the future. Elisha was the servant of Elijah who was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. How many of you remember who Elisha is or was? In 2 Kings 2 and 9, it says, while he and Elijah were crossing over the river, Elijah asked Elisha, what should I do for you since I'm about to be taken from you? Elisha answered, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. He had seen the prophet Elijah do many, many miracles. And God had said to Elijah, I want you to go and place your mantle on this young man named Elisha so that he can take your place. Now it's the time when Elijah is about to go to heaven, and he says, what can I do for you? Listen to this bold young person and what he asked. He says, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. I want to do twice as much as you did. I want twice the power you had. I want to know God twice as much as you knew him. And Elijah said to him, you've asked for something very difficult. However, if you see me taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. Now, as they continued talking and walking together, the Bible says a fiery chariot with fiery horses separated them, and Elijah went to heaven in a windstorm. Can you imagine this? The two are in conversation, and all of a sudden, this happens, separating them. Elijah gets on board, and he goes right up to heaven. When Elisha saw this, he cried out, my father, Israel's chariot and the horses. And when he couldn't see Elijah anymore, he grabbed his own garment and tore them into two, showing his grief. Then he picked up Elijah's coat, which had fallen back from Elijah when he was going up, and he stood on the bank of the Jordan River. And he took the coat and struck the water with it, and he asked, where is the Lord God of Elijah? As he struck the water, it divided left and right, and Elisha crossed over the river on dry land. The Bible goes on to say the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho saw him from a distance, and they said, Elisha's spirit now rests upon Elisha. You know, I've heard it said, but it is very, very true that the anointing is more caught than taught. People can teach you about the power of God and the anointing, but the anointing really comes by serving your God-appointed leader faithfully. And when God sees this in your life, then God will anoint you with the same or similar anointing.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of today's message is The Famine is Over, Part 1. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are praying for those who are sick today, whether it be spiritually, physically, emotionally, or mentally, you are the healer. Lord, your word says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, or our peace, was laid upon him. And with his stripes, with
His death and his resurrection, we are healed. I pray for every person, Lord, under the sound of my voice, and even those that we are praying for, that you will bring healing to them, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for divine healing today. We believe your word that by his stripes we were healed. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.